Hello, and warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Ben Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Broadcast. Why don't we begin with reading the Bible together? Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to listen to His words and teach us how to read on our own time. Now we have a devotional program for teenagers called Unlock. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, will open our imagination world to portray characters in the Bible. And last, but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will wrap up the broadcast. I hope you have a blessed time rejoicing in God throughout this journey, and please invite your friends to begin this awesome journey together. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone. My name is Yuna Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. We understand the meaning of gaining salvation through grace. Salvation does not come from our own strength, but it comes from God. In order to receive salvation, we have to do one thing, which is to believe and acknowledge Jesus as our Savior. There is nothing more or less that we have to do in order to be saved. However, in today's passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "It will help you grow up as believers." We know that we have already been saved. However, this passage says that we have to gain salvation. So does this mean that we did not receive salvation yet? It is very confusing. In the Bible, there are concepts of already and not yet. In God's perspective, He has already given us His salvation. However, because we did not fully achieve salvation, we have to continue until we have fully gained salvation. We definitely do not receive salvation from our actions, but through God's grace. If a person receives salvation, that person must act like a person who has been saved and continue in the right direction in order to fully receive salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "So get rid of every kind of evil. Stop telling lies. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Stop wanting what others have. Don't speak against each other. Like babies that were just born, you should long for the pure milk of God's Word. It will help you grow up as believers." Imagine that you received a flower pot as a gift. If we received a flower pot as a present, we need to start taking care of it in order for it to grow well. We have to water it, give it sunlight, provide good soil, and constantly check that it is not being damaged by pests or diseases. Because the plants are alive in that pot, and if treated well, they will grow. Salvation is the same. Because we have received salvation, we have to take care of it. We have to check on it every day so that it grows well and doesn't rot. Then, the flower will blossom well in a beautiful way that suits the person who gave it to you. Likewise, our salvation must grow through the Lord. In order to do this, we have to throw away our evilness, deception, jealousy, and defamation, and instead, continue to adore and follow the pure and spiritual Word, which is the Word of God. Are you growing in order to achieve salvation? I hope that we can become the people of God and gain salvation like people who have received grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to get to know your kindness. Let us live with living faith by following Jesus, who is our living stone. We hope that during this week, as people who have been chosen by God, we can get closer to achieving salvation. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Amber E. from California will read the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
My name is Amber. I'm 12 years old and I live in Cypress, California. Today, I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Let's read the Bible. "So get rid of every kind of evil and stop telling lies. Don't pretend to be something you are not. Stop wanting what others have and don't speak against one another. Like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of God's Word. It will help you grow up as believers. You can do this now that you have tasted how good the Lord is, the living stone and a chosen people. Christ is a living stone. People did not accept him, but God chose him. God places the highest value on him. You also are like living stones. As you come to Christ, you are being built into a house for worship. There you will be holy priests. You will offer spiritual sacrifices. God will accept them because of what Jesus Christ has done. In Scripture, it says, "Look, I am placing a stone in Zion. It is a chosen and very valuable stone. It is the most important stone in the building. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. This stone is very valuable to you who believe. But to people who did not believe, the stone the builders did not accept has become the most important stone of all. And it is a stone that causes people to trip. It is a rock that makes them fall. They trip and fall because they do not obey the message. That is also what God planned for them. But God chose you to be his people. You are royal priests. You are a holy nation. You are God's special treasure. You are all these things so that you can give him praise. God brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to be here listening to your words. Give us wisdom and strength to understand your word. Help us to follow Jesus' footsteps. Thank you for everything you've given us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
How does knowing that Jesus is the King of the universe help you when you tell others about salvation? Hey, it's Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to opening your heart to God. We've been commanded as believers to go and make disciples. But do we have to follow that command? It's what our story is about today. It's called Commissioned by the King, and it was written by Jonathan Fuller. How do you normally respond to bossy siblings? When my sisters tried to tell me what to do when I was younger, I usually didn't listen to them. But if my parents told me to do something, that was a different story. What's the difference? It was a question of authority. My younger sisters didn't have the authority to tell me what to do, but my parents certainly did. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples one final command. It was a command to make more disciples. A disciple is a follower, meaning Jesus commanded his followers to make more followers. If you are a follower of Jesus, He has decided to spread His good news of forgiveness and new birth through you. People can't know the good news about what Jesus has done unless someone is sharing that good news. Do you look for opportunities to tell your friends, family members, or neighbors about who Jesus is and what He has done? Do you invite others to follow Jesus, to join His kingdom and family? Notice that Jesus based this final command on His authority. How much authority does Jesus have? Jesus tells His disciples He has all authority in heaven and on earth in verse 18. Jesus isn't just a minor power player with limited authority. He is the King of the universe. Have you considered that you and I have been commissioned by the King of the universe to make disciples? His authority compels us to obey, and His presence gives us strength and comfort as we go and make disciples. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So let's talk about this. What fears do you have about telling others about Jesus? How does knowing Jesus is the King of the entire universe help you overcome those fears? This week, let's think of one person in our lives we can share this good news with. Write down their name, spend some time in prayer, and then share the good news with them, knowing that you've been commissioned to do so by the King, who has authority over all. I encourage you to keep reading about this topic. Check out Matthew 28:16 through 20 to help keep God's word alive in your life. Thanks for joining me today for this episode of Unlocked, a production of Keys for Kids Ministries. We love providing you with resources to help you dig into God's Word. It's our mission to share the good news of Jesus with kids and teens around the globe. And we can't do that without the generous help of our readers and listeners. So if you'd like to come alongside us in that mission by giving a financial gift, you can do that at unlocked.org/donate to give your best gift. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here is the second episode of Unlocked.
At what times in your life have you found it most difficult to praise God? Hey there, Andrew here, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to open up your heart to God. If you're anything like me, reading the stories in God's Word about people going through hard times is kind of comforting. Misery loves company, I guess. It's true, though. We can take heart that God working in their lives, the people in the stories, is a picture of what He's doing in ours as well. Our devotion today is going to look a little bit more deeply at that topic. It was written by Alexis Woller and is called, "We Can Still Worship." Losing a loved one, going through a breakup, getting a scary diagnosis, it can be hard to worship God in this broken world. The good news is you're not the first one to wrestle with this. Lots of people in the Bible went through very difficult, in fact, even deadly situations and had to figure out what it looked like to worship God in the midst of them. Job lost his family and his friends. Then the remaining people in his life gave him terrible advice and were often unkind to him in what they said. However, Job clung to his faith in the Lord. He worshiped God in the midst of the suffering, crying out to God with the hurt he was feeling, praising God for who He is, and acknowledging God would one day redeem and restore all the brokenness in Job's life. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in prison for proclaiming the good news of Jesus. As they sat in a cell, they didn't wait for God to deliver them from prison. They started singing to God right then and there. Most comforting of all, Jesus, who is fully God and fully human, knows what it's like to suffer too. On the day before He was put to death, He had one last meal with His disciples, giving thanks for the meal they were having, even though He knew what was ahead of Him. They even sang a hymn together. Jesus also took time to pray about the immense hurt and stress of the situation. We see that in Luke chapter 22. Because Jesus has felt the hurt of this broken world, we can go to Him with anything we're facing, with tears, with praise, and with thanksgiving. In Christ, we can still worship in the midst of heartache. When we don't know what to say, we can rest in Jesus because His Spirit will help us pray, even in the darkest of hours. Suffering won't last forever, but our Savior will be with us always. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? At what times in your life have you found it most difficult to praise God? Take a look at Romans chapter 8. If your faith is in Christ, what promises can you cling to during hard times? How do these promises affect your worship? What does it look like to worship God through praise, thanksgiving, and lament? Now, as you and I can read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'd encourage you to read Psalm chapter 34, especially verses 1 through 4, as well as Psalm 17 and Psalm chapter 42, verse 11, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. How would you like to write for Unlocked, just like Alexis did for our devotion today? If you're interested, check out our writer's guidelines at unlocked.org. Until next time, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Time.
Following is a program, Children's Bible Drama.
Hello, listeners to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries. This is June Park with the Children's Bible Drama, introducing the Book of Judges. Samson burned all the harvest of the people of the Philistines by catching 300 foxes, tying their tails with torches, and letting them loose to run around in Timnah's fields and orchards. The people of the Philistines tried to find out why Samson did this.
Why? What happened? Everything was ripe and we just needed to harvest. But now everything's burned. What are we going to eat to live?
It is not just the wheat. Everything on our vineyard is burned, and the olive trees next door are all burnt down as well. There will be no wine or olive oil. Alas, everything is ruined. Ruined!
Why in the world did Samson set fire to our fields and orchards? We must make him pay for what he did.
Well, actually, when I heard his side of the story, he had a reason to be so angry.
What do you mean he had a reason to be angry? What reason could be so upsetting that he wanted to burn our fields and orchards?
Well, do you remember Samson having a wedding with a woman from Timnah? But I heard that the father of the bride gave Samson's wife to another man who came to the wedding that day. He became so angry that his wife became someone else's wife without him knowing.
What? Is that true? No way! Then this is not Samson's fault, but the father-in-law's. Let's not waste time here. Let's go to his house and get some answers. You! Get out here right now! You ruined our harvest!
What is going on? What is the matter?
What is the matter? You ruined our harvest for the year! You and your daughter will pay for it by death!
The Philistine people became very angry and burned Samson's father-in-law and his daughter with fire. Samson's wife found out the answer to the riddle from him so she would not die in the hands of the Philistines at this time, but she eventually died tragically at the hands of the Philistines in the end. It was at that moment Samson appeared to them.
Hey, Samson, welcome. I heard you set a fire on our fields in Timnah and wanted to find out why. I heard it was because your father-in-law gave your bride to another man. Oh, what a horrible person your father-in-law was. So we killed your father-in-law and your bride for you. So why don't you calm down and control yourself and marry a new wife, huh?
Samson thought deeply at what the people of Timnah said.
Wow, what an opportunity this is. Truly, God's plan is great. Now that these people killed my father-in-law and my wife, I have a good reason to take care of them. Thank you, God.
How could you? You are all out of your mind. Who do you think you are that you can kill my father-in-law and my wife?
No, we were just taking revenge for you.
Taking revenge? Well said. Since you committed such evil to my wife's house, isn't it only right that I avenge their deaths as well?
As soon as he said that, Samson started judging the people who killed his in-laws. Samson killed all the people who killed his in-laws and went to the land where the tribe of Judah lived after avenging.
Hey, isn't that Samson over there? Yeah, it is. What is a Danite doing in our village? He is headed to the Itam cave. That's weird. Well, it's not our business. Let's get back to work.
Samson started a war against the people of the Philistines and was resting in the land of the tribe of Judah. What do you think will happen to Samson in the future? We'll see you next time with the children's Bible drama, Judges. Have a great week.
Do you have any older brothers or sisters? Heart and Soul has a new devotional program for teenagers called Unlocked. If you have older brothers and sisters, help them spend time in God's Word with Unlocked Devotional from Keys for Kids.
Following is program, lead devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
This band trip was fun. I'm taking a little souvenir home from the hotel. I'm sure they won't miss one towel.
It doesn't matter what you take. Stealing doesn't show how Jesus changed your life. Hey, have you ever been tempted to steal something? If so, you're going to want to listen to our story right here at Keys for Kids. Why do you think that Christians shouldn't steal? Just because your mom or dad said not to? Well, that may be true, but as followers of Jesus, we don't steal because it doesn't reflect who Jesus is. Christians are meant to be like Jesus in how we treat other people, and stealing hurts other people. And if we steal from them, they might think badly about us and about Jesus. Instead, one way to show Jesus' love is to respect other people's stuff. And when you learn this, it will help you follow Titus 3:8, which says, "Teach these things all the time, so those who have put their trust in God will be careful to do good things." Our story today is entitled The Band Trip. The band trip was coming to an end, and the students from Grace Christian School were getting ready to head home. Performing in different places around the city was really cool, said Ellie. Staying in this hotel was great, too. I'm taking a souvenir home to remember all the fun we had, said Monica as she packed a towel with the hotel's name woven into it. Why don't you take one, too? She tossed a towel to Ellie. Ellie looked doubtful for a moment, then she shrugged. Okay, I'm sure they won't miss one little towel. But on the trip home, other students talked about things they had taken or had done. We had a pillow fight last night, Shane told Ellie and her friends. We almost got caught when Mr. Palmer checked on us. We hid the torn sheets and a broken lamp just in time. The following week, the band director looked very solemn as he stood before the class. I got to know Mr. Mirza, the manager at our hotel, while we were staying there, Mr. Palmer said. He came to hear us play at one of our concerts, and afterwards he asked me some questions about Christianity. I talked to him about Jesus, and I've been praying for him. Mr. Palmer paused and took his phone out of his pocket. I want to share an email I just received from him. As Mr. Palmer read the email from the hotel manager, it grew very quiet in the band room. The email mentioned missing items and trashed hotel rooms. We'll send our apologies and pay for the items and the damage done to the hotel, said Mr. Palmer. But we can't pay for the damage done to your name, the school's name, or the Lord's name. There was a long silence. Then Mr. Palmer added, Your instruments played beautiful music, but the notes played by some of your actions were very much off key. They didn't sound anything like Jesus, who saved you by his grace and filled you with his love. Which notes will Mr. Mirza remember? Now, if those of you responsible are truly sorry and want to make amends, stay after class. When the bell rang, Ellie and several other students remained in their seats while everyone else filed out. So how about you? Are you careful to let your actions point to the good things Jesus has done in your life? If you're a Christian, you bear Christ's name. Do your actions honor that name? Can people see him in the way you talk and behave? Remember, you aren't saved by your good deeds, but if you have been saved by Jesus, kind and loving actions should be a part of your daily life. So make sure your words and actions reflect the good name of Jesus. Our key verse is found in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 8.
Teach these things all the time, so those who have put their trust in God will be careful to do good things.
And our key thought for the day, reflect Jesus in your actions. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
My teacher gave me my own personal cheerleader. I started to do good things just to get another cheer.
That sounds like fun. But guess what? You have a personal cheerleader, too. I'm Zach, and you're listening to Keys for Kids. Thanks for stopping by. Give me a Y. Give me an O. Give me a U. That spells you, and I never want you to forget this. You have a very special cheerleader. Here's one of my favorite Bible passages to explain. Romans 8:31 says, If God is for us, who can be against us? Remember, no matter what happens in your life, God is for you and not against you. He loved you so much, he allowed Jesus to die for your sins so that you could be part of his family. Our story today is called Personal Cheerleader. Guess what happened today, said Bennett when he got home from school. Someone freed the frogs in science lab again? Mom asked as she put a pot of water on the stove to boil. Bennett laughed. Nope. Devin got his own personal cheerleader. A personal cheerleader? Asked Mom. Now you've got my attention. It was an experiment. Mrs. Kim wanted us to see how it would change a person's actions if they had someone cheering for them all the time, Bennett explained as he sat down at the table. She said the way people are treated can determine how they feel about themselves and the choices they make. Way to go, Mrs. Kim, Mom said. So what happened? At first it was just funny, said Bennett. But as the day went on, it got really interesting. Mrs. Kim asked Colin to be Devin's cheerleader, so every time Devin did something good, Colin cheered him on. By the end of the day, Devin was doing nice things just to get a cheer. He said it made him feel really good. "That is interesting," said Mom. "I guess Mrs. Kim made her point." "She sure did," said Bennett. "It made me wish I had my own cheerleader, too. It would be nice to have someone there to help me do good things and encourage me all the time." "Well, in that case, you do have your own cheerleader," Mom said. Bennett rolled his eyes. "You don't count, Mom. You can't follow me around when I'm at school." "No, it's not me." Mom sat down beside Bennett. "One of the verses in the Bible says, 'The Lord is on my side.' So, in a way, God is your cheerleader. Another verse says, 'If God is for us, who can be against us?'" Bennett laughed. "That does almost sound like a cheer." Mom nodded. "God is always there to help you and encourage you. He reminds you that he loves you and saved you from sin, and he guides you in doing what's right. When you make good choices, God is cheering. When you study hard and do your best, he cheers you on. He's like a personal cheerleader who helps you do good things. So how about you? Did you know that God is rooting for you? That he cheers you on as you serve him and shows others? So what about you? Did you know that God's rooting for you? That he cheers you on as you serve him and show others his love? He's there to help you when you have a big test to study for. He encourages you to reach out when you see someone who's lonely. He's got your back when kids make fun of you for refusing to do something that's wrong. He loves you and is always there to help you make good choices. Our key verse today is Romans 8:31.
If God is for us, who can be against us?
And our key thought for today, God is for you.
Hey, Zach, I know we shouldn't be mean to people, but what if the truth would sound mean?
In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is instructing the church on how they can grow spiritually. He says it's important that people speak to each other truthfully, but that they speak in love. What he means is that they should never shy away from being honest, but to be honest in the nicest way possible. So always tell the truth, but be sure to do it with kindness and in love. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Here was Wednesday's daily devotional.
Grandpa likes to learn new words and make me look them up. He says words are a gift from God.
That is true. These words help us learn about God and share his love with others too. It's a great day here at Keys for Kids. As always, I'm Zach, and as always, I'm super glad that you're here with me today. You know, I have an app on my phone that teaches me a brand new word every single day. I think it's fun because I love learning new words and then using them when I speak to my friends and family. Words are important because without them, we wouldn't be able to talk to each other or even read the Bible. Plus, we couldn't share God's incredible love with other people. Check out John chapter 20, verse 31, which says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Our story today is called A Copacetic Day. "Hello, David," said Grandpa. "Is everything copacetic with my grandson today?" Copacetic? What does that mean? But even as David asked, he was sure his grandpa wouldn't tell him. Sure enough, Grandpa gave him a wink. "Look it up. That's what dictionaries are for." So David grabbed his tablet and quickly looked up the word. Copacetic. Here it is. It means very satisfying. He looked up as his older brother walked in. "Aaron is in high school and he thinks he's pretty smart," thought David. "I'll try this word on him." "Hi, Aaron," said David. "Everything copacetic?" "What are you talking about?" asked Aaron. "What does that word mean, anyway?" Grandpa winked and David grinned. "Look it up. That's what dictionaries are for, right, Grandpa?" While Aaron pulled out his phone, David sat down next to Grandpa. "You sure like using interesting words, don't you, Grandpa?" "Sure do. The way I see it, words are a gift from God. He has given people the ability to develop languages and use words to express ideas. Whenever I come across a new word, I like to look it up so I know exactly what it means. Then I understand it when I hear it or read it, and I can use it to communicate with others. Grandpa paused and then added, "Words are important, but there's one that's more important than any word you'll find in the dictionary." "Which word is that?" asked David. "God's word, the Bible. It tells us how much He loves us and how He sent His Son Jesus to save us from sin. It says our hearts can only be satisfied by knowing Him. Reading and learning from it helps us understand who Jesus is and helps us communicate His love to others." "So I guess that's why you like to look up verses too, not just words," David said, "because you want to understand God's word." Grandpa nodded as Aaron walked over from the other side of the room. "Very satisfying," Aaron said, putting his phone in his back pocket. "That's what the word copacetic means." David grinned at Grandpa. "I guess that's what God's word means too, because only Jesus can satisfy us." He got up to go to his room. "I hope you both have a copacetic day." So how about you? Have you ever thought about the importance of words? Without them, we wouldn't be able to express our thoughts or communicate with others. God gave us words so we could understand each other, and He gave us His word, the Bible, so we could understand who Jesus is and what He did for us. Spend time getting to know Him through His word and learning how you can communicate His love to others. Our key verse is John 20, verse 31.
"But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name."
And our key thought for the day, the Bible is God's Word. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids today. I look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
"I really want to know what Marcus is building in the basement. He says it's for me, but I have no idea what it is."
He's preparing something really special just for you, and Jesus is too. Do you like to receive presents? That's what we're talking about today on Keys for Kids. I'm Zach. So, how much do you like to get presents? A little bit? A lot? I love getting presents, and I bet you do too. If you're a Christian, remember this, Jesus is getting a ton of presents ready for you up in heaven. In John 14, Jesus says He's preparing a place for each believer in His Father's house. In James 1, verse 12, it says that believers will receive crowns as rewards in heaven too. And of course, the biggest present you'll receive is being with Jesus all the time. So if you like presents, take a listen to our story today. It's called Preparing a Place. "No peeking," said Marcus as he bounded down the steps, shut the basement door, and clicked the lock. Toby's big brother had been working on a secret project for the past week, and nobody was allowed to go into the basement. He had pestered Marcus constantly for a glimpse, only to get a sly grin and a "not yet." Toby could only guess what it could be by the sounds of saws and hammers. Marcus peeped his head out the door and called, "Hey, Toby, can you bring me a soda?" Toby smirked. "Only if you tell me what you're building down there." Marcus laughed. "No way. Besides, you know it's going to be something amazing, right? I'll give you one hint. It's for you." "Really?" Toby was surprised. "For me? You'd really make something just for me?" "Sure, you're a pretty great little brother, and I thought you deserved a gift from me. I know it's been hard since Dad's been away, and I just wanted you to have something good to look forward to. I promise I'll show it to you as soon as I'm finished." Marcus grinned. "You know, I'm not the only one making something spectacular for you." "What? Is Mom making me a chocolate peanut butter cake?" Toby asked. "I don't know anything about a cake, but I do know that in the Bible, Jesus told His followers that He was going to prepare a place for all believers. Since you became a Christian last year, that means you too," explained Marcus. He's working on our eternal home right now, and one day when he returns, that place will be ready and we'll live with him there forever. I don't know exactly what it will look like, but if Jesus is making it, it's got to be awesome. I heard heaven even has streets of gold or something, said Toby. But the best part about heaven isn't the gold streets. It's being with Jesus, replied Mark. And the best thing about my project is getting to spend time using it together when I'm finished. You can trust my promise, but even more than that, you can trust Jesus' promise to make you an eternal home with him. So how about you? Do you wonder what God has planned for you? Sometimes we get impatient not knowing exactly what the future holds. Will we get married? What kind of job will we have? Will we have kids? While he doesn't give us a sneak peek into our future here on earth, Jesus does promise that Christians will have a place with him for all eternity, and that's definitely something to be looking forward to. Our key verse is found in the New Testament Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1.
Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me.
And our key thought for today, Jesus is preparing a place for you.
Hey, Zach. What happens when you trust Jesus as your Savior, but don't trust him fully?
Hi, Nora. If you don't feel like you can trust Jesus fully yet, I suggest you pray to God and ask him to help you have the faith you need to trust Jesus more. I would also suggest that you speak with a trusted adult about what it means to follow Jesus. You could talk to your parents, a Sunday school teacher, or even a pastor at your church. Well, I hope that helps. I'll be praying for you to fully believe in Jesus, too. As always, my name is Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I can't believe Mom didn't punish Melanie for breaking the vase. I would have been grounded for a week.
Don't be upset that your mom showed mercy to your sister. Be grateful instead. Guess what? You're listening to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. My name is Zach. Does it make you mad when your brother or sister do something wrong but don't get punished? Remember, if you're a believer in Jesus, God has already done that for you. He's forgiven you for every bad thought you've ever had and every unkind word you've said. Now, when you think of it like that, it should help you show mercy to other people, just like it says in Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Our story today is called No Punishment. The sound of breaking glass brought Dylan running into the kitchen. Melanie, he exclaimed, what did you do? Melanie stared in horror at the shattered pieces of crystal on the floor. I didn't mean to. That's the vase Grandpa gave Mom right before he died, Dylan said. Boy, is she gonna be mad. She told us to stay away from it and not touch it, but you broke it anyway. What's the matter? Both kids jumped at the sound of their mom's voice. A look of sorrow spread over her face when she saw what had happened. Melanie burst into sobs. I didn't mean to break it, Mom. I was just looking for a pencil, and it just... I'm so sorry. Mom put an arm around Melanie. It's okay, honey. Don't cry. She'll have to buy you another one, won't she? Said Dylan. It'll probably take all her savings to replace it. No, Mom said sadly. Some things can't be replaced, and this is one of them. Then are you going to ground her? Dylan wanted to know. Mom shook her head. Take away her screen time? Dylan asked. When Mom shook her head again, he frowned. Aren't you going to punish her at all? No, said Mom. I'm going to show her mercy. Melanie has already learned that she needs to be more careful, and she's shown me she's very sorry about what happened. Dylan crossed his arms. If I had broken the vase, I wouldn't have been able to have any fun for a week, he grumbled. That's not true, Dylan, said Mom. Don't be jealous when mercy is shown to someone else. It's something we should all be very grateful for. Without God's mercy, we would all receive the eternal punishment we deserve. But God sent his own son to take our punishment instead so he could show us mercy. And because we've been forgiven, we can show mercy to others. So thank God for his mercy and be glad when others are shown mercy too. Who knows? Tomorrow you may need someone to show mercy to you. Dylan hesitated, and then he got out the broom and dustpan. Here, Melanie, he said. I'll help you clean this up. So how about you? Do you get upset when a guilty person is allowed to go unpunished? It's important to remember that each of us is guilty of sinning against God, but he showed us his mercy. Jesus died on the cross and rose again so our sins could be forgiven, and he calls us to forgive others and show them mercy. When someone doesn't get what they deserve, remember, that's what God did for you. Love mercy like he does. Our key verse is found in the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8.
What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
And our key thought for today, love mercy. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. There shall be showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. There shall be showers of blessing.
Wasn't that another blasting time doing the daily devotionals? How much closer did you get to Jesus today? Make sure to share this amazing story with your family. Hope that this experience doesn't stop here, but continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising him this week. Well then, I'll catch you later.